Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of the Someone Cares Ministry broadcast. I want to thank you for tuning in. We're getting ready to take you on a very dynamic and powerful message by the Chief Apostle, Bishop Wendell Archie. I want you to get your Bible, and I want you to look at a few scriptures with me just before we go into this teaching. In St. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, listen to what the Bible declares, and let's believe the scriptures. It says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Now, in our New Testament, we have four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Apostle Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Now, the gospel of Christ is recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, Paul wrote some epistles where he was correcting the church for error, but the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And this verse says in Mark chapter 1, verse 1, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Now let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 as we go on down in the body of this book. It says, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God." Jesus came on the scene preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. The kingdom of God comes with bylaws, which is called the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, you see him laying out the rules and the regulations inside of the kingdom of God, which still apply to us today. You go to 2 John chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11, and look at what the Bible said. It says, "Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partakers of his evil deeds." We're going to go into this message now, bad doctrine, and we're going to listen to this great apostle as he lay it out. God bless you. We'll come again at the end and give you more information.
But the gospel is a doctrine. Now, we need to understand what is the gospel. Everything written in the Bible is not classified as gospel. You read these books of Paul, you would hear it classified as an epistle of Paul. What does that mean? That means that is a letter Paul wrote. That's what it means. Is it good? Is it true? Yes, if you understand what he's talking about. Because many times you put it in places he wasn't addressing what you're talking about. But it's an epistle, it's a letter. We read the book of Acts, that's not the gospel, that's the book of Acts. That's the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles is just showing you how they acted upon, and we can get church history, how they established the church, how they acted upon God, what the Lord commended them, and that's why you have the book of Acts. And the other, those epistles are letters. An epistle is a letter. If I write you a letter, if it had been in biblical time, they would have said, "I wrote you an epistle." But you come on back and you find out classification. There are four gospels in this book. And that's Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These writings are classified as the gospel. We rarely even read them anymore because they tell you to love your enemy. This would tell the Jews to love the Palestinian. This would tell the Palestinians to love the Jews. This would tell the white man to love the black and the black to love the white. This would tell to love your enemy, to him that'll smite you on one cheek, turn to the other. That's why we don't read the gospel anymore. The gospel tells you to bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. That's in the gospel. Now, that's what I have built my doctrine out of. I observe all of the things that Paul taught in his correction of the church. None of it is contradictory to the gospel. Now, he's telling us that we should beware of the doctrine. Now, we're going to turn here, if you would, to the book of John's Gospel, chapter 7. This is why it shares with us the difficulties you have in understanding the gospel and how it is so easy to be carried away out of a feeling or a sentiment. I have people call our church all the time, do you have a singles class? No, I got a class for everybody. They want a singles class. They're looking for some. They're looking for eHarmony. You know, I got a class for everyone here. They choose church based on their sentiment, based on what they're looking for. People, you should look for what you want. Try to find what God has determined. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 7. We're going to begin reading at verse 14. Hallelujah. And about that time, in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letter, having never learned? What they're really saying is, say, this man is teaching something that none of our Pharisees, Sadducees, none of our churches taught. Where you get this from? We've been in church all our life. We never heard this kind of teaching Jesus is doing. That's why he warned them to beware of what you were brought up in. Believe in what he stated, not what you feel seem to go along with your fantasy. Hallelujah. How this letter, we never learned that. Where you get it from? Then Jesus knew what they were saying. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but it's him that sent me. Is your doctrine yours? Is your doctrine what you lack? Is your doctrine is what feels good to you, what mama said and daddy said? Is what you was raised up in? Is your doctrine yours? Is what you follow in? Is what you have conjured up? Jesus said, I don't even follow my own doctrine. But it's of him that sent me. Now the next question is, how can we determine what God has sent? Because all of them claim God. Every one of them. God told me. The Lord said. The Lord told me this and the Lord said that. But he goes on to say this. This is how you determine. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. First of all, when you won't do what you do know is right to do, you will not know of what you're doing, whether it's right or wrong. I want to say it again to you. If you don't start to do the things you know are wrong, you might be arguing with me, oh, it's all right to drink wine, all that kind of stuff, but all the other stuff you ain't doing is right. When you start doing the things you know is right to do and refuse the things you know are wrong, then God will open up your understanding to know of the doctrine, whether it's of God or not. I'm going to go over into the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse number 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. These people were so concerned about doctrine. See, you hear ministers today get up and make like the person that's concerned of the doctrine as if they're wrong for not embracing to receive every old devilish way. And they'll get up and say, you know, I love everybody, man. Don't have to be right, you know. I can be along with him, man. I respect that man. Anyway. And then, boy, everybody clapped their hand because it seemed like this guy is so good. But here's the Bible said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them that cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Now, can you believe Paul enough to know that you're not just to become one? Let me show you something. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? When you start to walk together as in harmony, now I can walk with you and come and preach to the lowest of sinner and the worst of person in the world, but I'm not going to follow you out where you're going. Because you're going to lead me to the pool hall. You're going to lead me to some guy playing dominoes, cursing like a sailor. And that's going to offend my spirit. But I can meet you on my terms, out in the streets, in the lucha term. I don't care if you're the worst old demon and take you to lunch and jaw with you. But we're going to be sitting there talking about Jesus. This thing was so important, doctrine, in biblical times. Paul said, avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's telling them if they don't follow the doctrine of Christ, they're not serving Christ. They come with a Christ, but they're not following the doctrine of Christ. They're not serving Christ. He said, but this is what they do. But their own bellies, and by good words, boy, they tell you something good all the time. You be encouraged. You let your dreams gonna happen. Oh, you feel so good all the time. But God, by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple. Now he's telling them through good words and fair speeches, they can deceive the heart of the simple. So he's telling you to avoid them. Let's go over here. Let me read something else to you. We're going to 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Let's read verse 7. Now, how many of us believe the Bible is true? Okay. Here's John said, for many deceivers are entered into the world. Stop and think on that for a moment. Many deceivers are in the world. They're here. I'm going to say it again. There are many deceiving preachers, churches, organizations, ideologies, thoughts. They're in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. When he used this term, confessing Jesus Christ in the flesh, it's not talking about an oral confession. It's talking about their life do not show Christ has come inside of them. It doesn't show, they don't show the life of Christ in their flesh, in their bodies. They have the same old life, but preaching about Jesus. Then he says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we are wrought. Bishop is trying to make you more serious about things you believe, things you hold on to. Don't get mad at a church and leave it. Don't get mad at somebody at the church that did you wrong, or your mother, or your daughter. But you should take heed to yourselves of what you believe in, of the doctrine you have embraced. You have embraced a doctrine when you accept the belief. I don't think it take all that. That's a doctrine. I think I can drink a little bit, you know, Jesus made wine. That's a doctrine right there you've brought. That's your own sentiment. I don't see nothing wrong with if you're going to get married, to sleep together. If you're going to get married. But that's your doctrine. That's not written here. That's your doctrine. That's a bad doctrine. You formulate all kind of doctrines that you made up. You made up your own religion. Because really, in actuality, most of the folks don't follow no religion completely. Now, I'm not fussing at you. But if Jesus told me to be aware, I'd start looking. Man, I start looking at stuff I believe and find all kind of stuff I believe wasn't in the Bible. I said, Lord, I ain't going to do nothing but believe what I can find written here. And I'm not going to teach these people nothing that's not written. I'm teaching you what's here. I'm not teaching you Bishop's thoughts, his feelings. That don't mean nothing. This is what's going to save you. The Bible said that day these books are going to be opened. He said, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which we have wrought, but that you receive a full reward. Now he goes to tell you this right here. Whosoever transgresses and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. I want to say it again. Whoever is transgressing God's word and don't stay, abide continually in the doctrine of Christ, they don't have God. You can preach, oh, he forgive. Yes, he can forgive. But can you stay still a while? Can you take cussing out your mouth? Can you keep your pants up? Can you keep the beer bottle down? Wait for me. Not just asking, oh, he's merciful. Yeah, he's merciful. But he can free you. He can change you. He's got that power too. If he can take a donkey and make him talk like a man, he can change you from cussing and make you say pure words. Can I get a witness out here? Hallelujah. Whoever transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ means to stay in it. He has not God. Now, this comes to see if we really believe the Bible. You want to believe the Bible that you got God even though you don't do this. See, that's your doctrine. You don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, but I know I got God. I know God did stuff for me. Well, God's word just said, if you're not standing in his doctrine, you ain't got him. Can you believe the Bible or do you believe yourself? Most of us have formed our own religion within our own way of believing. We believe some of what the pastor said. I don't believe everything the pastor said. Well, if the pastor's coming out of the Bible when you say you don't believe, then you're saying you don't believe what God said. Man, you getting quiet on me this morning. That's all right. I can lower my voice a little bit. I had to make me not have God when I was transgressing God's word. I understand the scripture. You see, the Bible said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? God is really saying to her, he spoke that to Israel. He said, you of all the nations have I known over all the world. That's what he spoke to Israel and the prophets. He said, but I will punish you for your unrighteousness. He said, for how can two walk together except they be agreed? He's really telling Israel, I can't walk with you, Israel, because you don't agree with me. God is really saying to the church, you and I cannot walk when you disagree with me together. Because it's going to come a point in your life. I'm going to try to guide you one way. And what you feel and what you want, you're going to go another way. We will not be able to walk together the whole pace of the mile. Because you don't agree with me. Let me explain something to you. For many years, I struggled with this scripture when it says, he that committed sin is of the devil. I had to let it mean what it said and said what it meant. But I would look at some of the Christians and sometimes even myself had erred. And I know that act that I had committed was devilish. But I couldn't see myself of the devil because I was after God. You got out of way. Anything you have done that wasn't godly, you know that that was a sin. And when the scriptures say he that committed sin is of the devil, I had to let it mean what it said. Though I really didn't understand in its entirety what it was speaking in terms of. That's why some of these words that are used in Old English, sometimes we have to really look at them and see precisely and parallel them with other scriptures what it's really saying. What it's really stating to us, to be committed to sin. I'm going to put it in this term. He that is committed to sin. He that is committed to whoremongering is of the devil. He that is committed to lying, he gonna lie, is of the devil. When you are committed to your wife, or you're committed to something, is when your focus is on your commitment to respond to the demand. And you're committed inside, you're purposed inside to do it, is of the devil. Meaning, when I come to church, I'm looking for somebody fine. Because I want me somebody to sleep with. I'm committed to sin. Even if you got weak at a time and you fail, that was a devilish act. But it does not mean you were of the devil. You were of the devil at that particular. But when you are of the devil is when you make way for it. You look for it. You try to find out how to make it be accomplished. That's the person that's got it in his heart to do evil is of the devil. If you committed to the liquor, you're of the devil. This Bible is written here. You committed to a hate group, you of the devil. If you've been a part of a hate group and hate that hate group and coming out of that hate group, you are not a part of the devil. Even if you've been tempted to do some things that are wrong, when it's a grave desire you have inside of you to do what's right in the sight of God and really be broken about that error, you're not of the devil, because your desire is to serve God completely. And don't let the devil tell you that you're of him. Now, this is the thing about that committed sin. Paul said in Romans, he said in the book of Romans, he said, when his spirit bear witness with our spirits, by this we know we are the children of God. Meaning, when you begin to come on the agreement and on the same page with God, you think like God thinks. You want what God wants. You know, when I got saved, I came to God. I said, man, I want to serve you, God, but I sure hate to give up my liquor. I want to serve you, Lord, but I don't know if I can stay away from the ladies. Me and God was not in agreement. But when I rendered my life to God, and God said, don't you get drunk no more. I said, I agree with that God. When God said, don't even tell. You know, I wouldn't even walk to one of these sisters. If I got weak with you, I ain't going to come tell you. I promise you that. I ain't going to be calling you on the phone. Hey, how you doing? Don't tell nobody I called you. Promise you. Hallelujah. I'm living a single life now. I know what it takes. I've learned what it takes. I'm telling you. You can't play around with this thing. Brothers, I'm going to tell you something. I mean, you can't play around with this thing. I wish I had time to get in that. I don't have time this morning to take me off of this message. You see, people, if you're a visitor here, they don't never want me to stop preaching. I don't care if I preach for 4 hours. They still want me to minister God's word. Shout glory to God, somebody. I'm telling you, this church is built. This is food for these folks. They eat. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. He goes on in verse 10 and said, verse 9, whosoever transgresses and abide not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abide in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. I mean, that is a complete blatant statement. If you abide in the doctrine of Christ, if you can stay in what Jesus said, I don't care what church you be in, where are you coming from? You got both the Father and the Son, he said. Then he goes on to show you how serious these doctrines are. Now let's listen to this. This was very, very seriously spoken. If any come to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your houses, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, he's telling you, somebody come and bring you a doctrine that didn't come from Christ. These are some of them. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You need to tell them, where is that in the Bible? I ain't hear Jesus say that. Where you get it from? So when you hear those doctrines that come from, not from God's word, you are not the Bible, so you don't even receive them in your houses. That's pretty bold. But they really wanted you to know and us to know how serious the doctrine we believe in. It affects our life. It affects how we raise our children. He said, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Now, we're about to close here. I'm not about to close immediately, but I'm getting ready to close. But in closing, I've been talking about doctrine. How do we know what's right doctrine? How do we know we believe in doctrine that's correct? How do we derive our doctrine? Since a doctrine can be derived from feeling, it can be derived from sentiment, it can be derived from a thought, from ideology, from a philosophical position. How do we get true doctrine? How do you know what true doctrine is? Let's go over here. God didn't leave us to be confused. Hallelujah. Turn with me, if you would, praise the name of Jesus, to the book of 1 Timothy. We're going here to chapter 1. Let's read verse 3 in the first book of Timothy. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when thou wentest unto Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now, ain't that something? That was a time the church all believed the same thing. Isn't that amazing? Because those ministers stood up and charged those ministers that were coming up. Don't you preach nothing different. You know, you got new revolutions coming up. We got a grace revolution. We're going to change the old grace. We're going to bring in a radical change of grace. And they come out and go to talk about, you know, religious teach this and religious teach that. Religious. You know, what they're really talking to is Christian people and talking about your old religion. Christianity is wrong. You got to submit to their new revolution of grace. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no new revolution in this Bible.
Praise the Lord. That's it for today. But I know you was blessed by the chief apostle, Bishop Wendell Archie, preaching a message entitled, Beware of Bad Doctrine. God bless you. Amen. For more information on our ministry, you can call us at 225-243-9630. That's 225-243-9630. For those who would like to visit one of our services at Refuge Temple Ministry right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, you can come to 10414 Mammoth Avenue, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We meet Sunday morning at 10, Sunday night at 7 p.m., and Wednesday at 7 p.m. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you, we thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.
Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus. Someone cares for you. Someone cares.